Welcome to Parents' Perspective. And this just in from our traffic reporter, the voice on the car radio intoned. There's been a delay on the red line. It seems there's something going on at one of the stations between the Thomas Square and Bolton Circle stations. Stay tuned for further information. Oh, no, Sharon moaned out loud to no one in particular. I wonder, she thought to herself, if I should just pull over and wait instead of heading all the way to work. At least I'd be closer to the kids' subway stop if they're stopping the trains and letting everyone out. Just then, her cell phone rang. Did you hear about the subway? Sharon's friend Dottie began. Do you think we should try to pick up the kids and just drive them the rest of the way to school? Well, I'm not sure how long the delay is, Sharon responded. Do we know exactly what has happened? And now for the latest situation on the red line, the announcer's voice broke in. Evidently, there's been a suspicious package found in the Bolton Circle station, and some of the riders are reporting dizziness and nausea. Police are attempting to evacuate the station. Trains appear to be stopped en route. We're waiting to hear from our reporter on the scene momentarily. Oh, no, Sharon wailed into the phone. I just knew something like this would happen one day. Oh, Dottie, I'm heading right down to pick up all the kids. I'll call you when I get there. Oh, I hope they're okay. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about safety on the subway? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has been working with the subway in the Washington, D.C. area for a long time. Officer Linda Foxwell is on the staff of public information officers for the Metro Transit Police in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area. This is the only tri-state police agency in the country serving Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. Officer Foxwell has been a Metro police officer for 18 years and now works in research and planning. She has two daughters, ages 10 and 15. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Officer Foxwell.
Thank you very much for asking me.
When your kids are taking the subway, what's the most important thing you want them to remember?
I would advise that they should remember to take safety along for the ride. Parents should go over some of the escalator safety rules. No sitting on the escalators, how to stand properly on the escalators. They are very heavy equipment, and many people do suffer injuries as a result of not properly riding the escalators every year. And also, it's very important to emphasize that no running or horseplay should take place when children are moving in and out of the subway system. And where to stand on the platform area to stay away from the granite edge, and what sort of safety features we have in place, such as the flashing lights to indicate when trains are approaching the stations.
That's the thing that's always made me a crazy person when I've taken young children on the subway, because I'm always afraid with all the pushing and commotion and so forth, either with crowds or with young children, that somebody is going to push somebody over that edge. What is a good thing for parents to remember with that?
Well, we've been very fortunate not to experience that. I would always advise parents to take some dry runs with their children, particularly if they're going to start a new school year or go on some sort of a trip that's going to require them to ride public transportation. To take a dry run with them, point out some of the safety features, and make it very clear what your expectations for their behavior is while they're in the subway system.
What about kinds of safeguards that are in place that kids and parents should know about, besides obviously the flashing lights? And that's in the Washington subway. I don't know if it's nationwide.
Well, probably the most important feature that we have is our Metro personnel, and that they have been trained, all our operation personnel, from station managers, custodial staff, repair personnel, and transit police, of course, have been trained in emergency procedures, and it really is most important to listen and follow the instructions that are given by Metro personnel.
If kids are on the subway or waiting for the subway and something comes up, they have a question or a need, one of them doesn't feel well or something, or is confused, what's the best thing for them to do?
Any Metro personnel can answer any questions. The station managers are in uniform so that they can be easily identified. All of our personnel that work in the system have a uniform that's recognizable, and those are the people to go to ask for information or ask for assistance.
So those are strangers that it's okay to go and talk to.
Correct.
And that's nationwide, all the subway systems that we know of work that way. There are people walking around all over the place with uniforms.
Correct. Many of the major metropolitan transit systems do have uniformed personnel.
In the event of an emergency while traveling by subway, what should kids do, a real emergency?
My children start the school year every year with an index card in their book bag, and they've been doing this since kindergarten, that has a whole litany of phone numbers should they need to have someone contact in the event of an emergency. Take children, teach them how to make a collect phone call, how to use pay phones, where they should go in the event of an emergency, and basically have a plan B. And we actually ask all of our customers and our riders to develop a plan B should there be some sort of a service disruption at any time.
What's on the index card that's in the backpacks? I think that's an excellent idea.
Every year when I'm filling out all the emergency cards that they bring home the first day of school, I include the information on my card to go in their book bags. It's names of contact people in the event of an emergency, a list of phone numbers, and a neighbor that can be contacted in the event that they can't get a hold of a parent.
And I guess also change for telephones.
Correct.
Because cell phones don't work underground
too
well.
Or even a calling card, or instructing them on how to place a collect call.
Also, I guess that means that we really need to have, as parents, some kind of a network of people whom we know can be reached in an emergency. It's the old business in the old days when all of us were growing up that everybody was home baking pies. No longer is the case. So we have to have some kind of situation where we know if a neighbor really is going to be home.
I guess that's the it takes a village to raise a child theory. And yes, I have contact with the parents who are home during the day, either because they work out of their home or they are not employed, they are raising their children. And I am in contact with them, and they know that they are the number two person on the emergency call list at school, and I have their phone numbers with me in the event that I am delayed and I need to rely on them to assist with my child care issues.
Okay. I have a question. If there's an emergency on the subway and there's not enough uniformed personnel to come marching through each car like there is, you know, on Amtrak or something, what should a child know to do?
Well, the train operator would be able to make PA announcements that would be heard throughout the train. The train operators are directly in contact with their OCC, which is our Operation Control Center for Rail, and they will make emergency announcements giving instructions. We also have signs for emergency evacuation steps in the trains, and we will certainly try to flood any area with service personnel to assist in any way possible.
Should kids then go on a subway car and look for emergency exit signs or something like that, or directions? Is that something they should be familiar with?
Well, this, is something that I would hope the parents would point out in their dry run and to actually ride the train with the children or the bus. And there are actually, in every single car in Metro, there is a PA intercom at both ends of each train car so that you can push a button and talk directly to the train operator and describe whatever sort of an emergency is taking place or what sort of information is required. We don't recommend passengers walk through the emergency doors because that is a very dangerous thing to do while the trains are in motion. And we actually have some laws that prevent that in the event that it's done when there's not an emergency. So you can run into some criminal problems if you try to walk through these doors. It's not like some transportation systems where passengers freely move from car to car, and that's not the case here at the Washington Subway.
Using our metropolitan area's subways as an example, where would you find that button that you push to communicate with the driver?
At the far end of each car, next to the emergency door, is the intercom, and it actually is a red button, and it has a sign in the event of an emergency. Push this button and speak to the operator.
I've never noticed it. I've never looked for it. And that's why I think that's something really important to tell young people.
Is that pretty common in the construction of cars? In other words, if you're obviously most of our listeners are in cities other than Washington, D.C., would that be something they could look for?
It's very common to have some sort of an emergency notification mechanism in place on any subway system.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on safety on the subway.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Officer Linda Foxwell of the Washington, D.C. Metro Transit Police about safety on the subway. In the event of an emergency situation, are there other items that kids should always have with them besides the little index card? Should there be other things that kids should just have in general?
Well, I always recommend that they follow the instructions of whatever Metro employee staff is available. As far as having anything with them, now, other than contact information, it's probably the most important, or have a plan B. And we actually, in our system, we actually have developed some brochures that give our customers alternate bus routes and walking instructions to the next subway station should we experience a disruption at one point.
And how would people get those brochures? They would get them when they walk into the Metro station?
They're available at our station manager's kiosk, along with the maps and the other brochures that are available to the public.
So should that be something that a child should have in his or her backpack, do you
think? Well, if they're old enough, and I think that's certainly something that the parent can go over, bring home, and the parent can go over section by section and give clear instructions as to what to do in the event of a service disruption or a problem where they'd have to leave a particular station.
So in the transportation stations at the kiosk or wherever they might find such brochures, what kind of brochures are they looking for?
Well, the authority does actually publish a brochure. One is entitled Riding Smart, Safety Tips for Young Riders. And it's also available through our information line at 202-637-7000. And it covers a number of topics to include safety behaviors in the station while riding escalators, who to go to in the event that a child should need some assistance.
Now we see a whole pile of these things, and there are different kinds, I think, that people can look for probably in all subway stations.
Well, the Transit Police do oversee the publication of a number of brochures during the course of our year, and we put out safe and courteous behavior brochures for on the train and the bus, and we also talk a little bit about some of the rules, particularly in the Washington subway system. For instance, we don't allow people to eat, drink, smoke, or play radios that don't use earphones. So those are actually laws that we enforce for the comfort and safety of all of our riders.
Are those rules common in other cities, or are those unusual just to Washington?
They vary by jurisdiction, actually, and our rules apply to our Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia subway stations as well.
How does somebody know in Chicago what the rules are on the subway system there?
Well, in the Washington subway system, we also have graphics posted with the international red circle with a slash through it over a burning cigarette image. So people would know. We also make periodic announcements through the system, and I assume that practice is common in other transportation systems as well.
Okay, so look for signs, everybody. Okay.
Are there any written materials that deal with, heaven forbid, the event of possibly a terrorist act?
There are a number of publications out. The Red Cross, in conjunction with the authority, put out a publication. It's linked on the Metro website, which is www.metroopensdoors.com. That's all one word. And there are a number of links to the Red Cross, Homeland Defense information, and the U.S. Department of Justice put out a terrorism brochure, What Can I Do to Help? And that's for citizens to see what they can do in their communities to assist with fighting terrorism and preventing it. I'd also like to add that Metro has an e-alert system that people can sign up for, and they get an alert sent to their computer through the email system telling them when there are service disruptions right to their desktop. And if your cell phone is capable, or your pager or personal digital assistants are capable of that, receiving those messages, it'll go out there. And you go onto the Metro website and sign up for that.
When our children are old enough to be, and sometimes they're very young, but when they're old enough to be traveling alone on the subway or bus system, what kind of emergency plans should we make with them if they should, for example, have to be detoured someplace and let off the bus or off the Metro? Then they're not with the transit police or the transit officers that they could go over and ask questions of.
Well, they should always certainly follow rules and have an alternate plan. And we certainly recommend that they stay in areas where they are familiar. They should take the same route to school every day and not decide that they want to walk a longer distance because people don't know where they are all the time. They should try and stay in a regular routine so that people can know where they're supposed to be at a specific time, and it makes it easier for the parents. But again, it's very important for the parents to ride along with them in preparation for this daily commute that they're going to take.
And I guess the other thing is, if they have to get off of the subway system at a point where they would normally not get off, to find a payphone right away and to call somebody who would know then where they are and what they're supposed to be doing.
And that's why that contact card information is so important, as well as teaching them how to use a payphone.
And now we just have to hope that there are payphones that they're still going to let stay now that cell phones are so prevalent. What about sort of the subtext that we're all thinking about these days, which is terrorism on the metros, on the subways? What should our kids be alert for in terms of that when they're about to board a subway?
Well, we certainly want to have everyone remember to take all their personal belongings with them when they exit the train. And the story that you read in the beginning of the show emphasized that, and that we have people who leave backpacks and suitcases and items and innocently leave them behind, and then we actually have to ramp up our response to these situations and handle them as if they are a threat. So we would prefer that people would certainly remember to take these items along with them, and it would contribute to reducing the number of service delays we experience. But it will be very important in the event of any sort of situation to listen and follow the directions being given by the trained personnel.
Now, before the show, we were talking about some of the training that's gone into place just in the Washington Metro system, and I think it would be a little bit calming to everybody to hear that, yes, indeed, there are actual things that are in the works that all kinds of metro systems are considering and thinking about being done. Can you go over some of those so that all of us who are wringing our hands will feel a little bit better?
Well, actually, in the Washington subway, we took a look at this issue as far back as 1995 when the Tokyo Japan subway experienced a sarin gas release. And we realized that this was an issue that we had to pre-plan for and pay attention to. So in some respects, on September 11th of 2001, we were a little bit ahead of the curve in that we had trained our operational personnel, including station managers, et cetera, how to react to a suspicious item, to a report of large groups of people experiencing symptoms that might be a terrorist attack, et cetera. And we had already done this. We already had these plans in place. Since then, we fortunately were provided with monies from the federal government and were allowed to help in designing and implementing some very sophisticated state-of-the-art equipment for chemical detection. And actually, we're one of the premier transportation systems in the country to have this. We do tabletop exercises continuously with regional first responders.
You have to explain what a table. I think of setting the table, but I bet that's not what it is.
Actually, it means that we, in a classroom setting, go over responses and the types of situations that we may run into and what our various responsibilities of all the roles of regional law enforcement, in addition to firefighters, specialty personnel, local government, road maintenance, et cetera. They all go into a room and pretend with a scenario that takes place. And we're able to develop policies and procedures, memorandums of understanding, so that in the event that multiple jurisdictions have to work together, we all very clearly defined what our roles are to resolve any sort of issue.
That's great. Now, you said that at some point the hope is to have employees of these subway systems have gear that they could put on that would allow them to walk into an area that might be contaminated and help other passengers to get out and so forth?
The goal of this is to identify true chemical releases and the type of chemical they are. The system is sophisticated enough to where it will indicate the type of chemical that is released, and that we want to protect our first responders. We don't want to send law enforcement and fire department personnel down into a contaminated area unless we know what sort of chemical they're going to have to deal with and they can properly equip themselves for. And our operational personnel have already been equipped and trained in the use of a escape hood that they can don in the event of such an emergency. and they can then escape the subway system and certainly assist other passengers who are evacuating from a particular area.
That's very exciting that there is a detection system in place that can tell what kind of substance might be released and whether it's really harmful or not. So that it sounds like there's a lot of sophistication going on in the development of these things.
Well, in addition to that, we've also included a lot of digital recording video cameras in our stations so we can observe what's going on in our stations. We have automatic vehicle locators, which is the global positioning satellite technology on our buses, and we know where our buses are all the time. We can dial up a particular bus and watch as it travels through the city. So we know if a bus is, for some reason, is off its route or experiencing an emergency, we know where it is. We also have included passenger emergency intercoms on our platforms on the brown pylons. It's a very oversized red button. It's the passenger emergency intercom, and it'll go right to the station manager in the station. So they actually are trained personnel in each station who have gone through a number of training procedures, training scenarios to deal with emergencies that come up.
And systems around the country, do they have some kind of situation like that where on the platform, if there was an emergency, some employee would be able to be notified?
Many of them do, and certainly all of our employees, Metro employs around 10,000 people in the region, and certainly all of our employees are a very important asset at mitigating some sort of an emergency or service disruption.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on safety on the subway.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Officer Linda Foxwell of the Washington, D.C. Metro Transit Police about safety on the subway. Officer Foxwell, what rules of the road would you advise parents to make for the young subway riders?
Well, besides following the safety rules and having an alternate plan in place, the buddy system is certainly a good idea if there are a number of students who could ride the train together. That always seems to be a better alternative than putting a young person alone in the transportation system. I will say that many of our bus drivers get to know the people that ride their routes every day and actually have a friendly relationship with many of them. And when they see a child riding alone, they tend to look out for them and make sure that they get on their way when they're supposed to, et cetera. So as I've said before, our employees are a vital asset to the safety of our customers.
Officer Foxwell, have we left anything out that you want to make sure we cover?
Well, I think probably having a dialogue with your children is probably a big step towards instilling the need for safety and keeping safety in mind when they're riding the subway system and the buses.
Okay. Well, you have certainly helped to keep a lot of things in mind. Before we leave this whole topic, are there resources that you would suggest for our listeners who want to learn more?
Well, we have a number of safety brochures available at our various stations, but probably a large resource would be the website at Metro, which is www.wmata.com. And there actually is an area on that website that talks about safety issues in various escalators, bus, metro rail, etc. And that's always good to review.
And I would guess that in cities around the country, if someone also called the subway system, they would give a website with more resources and more information as well.
I have found that most of the major transportation systems do have websites that also provide information that is particular to their system.
You have provided a lot of information, not only about the Washington system, but that parents across the country can use to help their children be much safer subway riders. So, Officer Linda Foxwell, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Please call us at toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573. 791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 224. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.